Greetings. Welcome to the Axtel Third Quarter 2022 Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. Please note this conference is being recorded. I'll now turn the conference over to your host, Adrian De Los Santos. You may begin.
Thank you, Chamali, and welcome everyone. Today's conference call will be hosted by Mr. Armando de la Peña, Axtel's Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Bernardo García, Executive Officer of Planning and Development, and myself, Chief Financial Officer. Axtel financial information, including our third quarter report, is already available in our corporate website. Let me remind you that information discussed in this call may constitute forward-looking statements. These statements reflect management's current views, which are subject to different risks. Therefore, the company disclaims any obligation to update statements discussed in this call based on new information available. Now, let me turn the call over to Armando for his initial remarks. Armando, please.
Hi, good morning to all. Thank you again, and thanks everyone for being with us today. Before reviewing our financial results, I would like you to comment about actions that we are taking to resume profitable growth, our top priority next time. We are reinforcing Alestra and Axtel brands with customers and decision makers. We are enhancing the recognition of our expertise and capabilities beyond traditional connectivity and digital transformation services into specialized services such as cybersecurity, consulting, and hybrid cloud solutions. We are also adjusting commercial strategies to increase our share of wallet in industries where we have significant positioning and expertise, but we have uneven penetration. Also, increasing geographic coverage with focus on small and medium enterprises and local governments. We are accelerating cost and expense reduction strategies, such as increasing in-house sourcing to reduce support and maintenance costs from third parties, optimizing office spaces, negotiating alternatives to mitigate inflation increases with suppliers. We are implementing processes to overcome roadblocks and increase agility in decision-making within the company. Moving on, I am pleased to mention that results improved in the third quarter. Revenues increased 8% on a sequential basis with positive results in all three business segments, Axtel Networks, Enterprise, and Government. In the Government segment, the new management team is focused on extending expiring contracts and putting together the initiatives to expand the customer base at both state and federal levels, key in our medium and long-term strategy. Results in AXNEC were affected by the absence of dark fiber capacity contracts in the first semester, whereas 80% of these revenues were posted in the first semester in 2021. This quarter, we secured dark fiber contracts and produced a promising pipeline for the rest of the year and 2023. In the enterprise segment, cloud and cybersecurity services maintain their positive trend, increasing revenues 25% year over year. We continue developing our business line commercial approach to bring our experts and specialists in front of our customers to increase the volume of proposals and consequently the acquisition of new contracts. A sound capital structure and extended maturity profile are very important in Axtel. Our net leverage ratio stood at 3.8 times in September. We expect this ratio to come down as EBITDA improves in the upcoming quarters. We continue to engage with financial institutions in the process to refinance our 2024 senior notes. Adrián will elaborate on this subject, but I am pleased with the support we are receiving from banks notwithstanding the complex and volatile current market conditions worldwide and in Mexico. Following the approval of the spin-off of Alfa ownership in Axtel, the required 45-day legal term was completed without objection, and a new entity called Controladora Axtel was constituted during this quarter, and Alfa will transfer its Axtel ownership to shareholders via Controladora Axtel. As mentioned in July's conference call, our board of directors, executive committee, management, and corporate governance are not changing. A positive performance of our company is in the best interests of both Axtel and Alfa shareholders. Alfa expects the new entity to begin trading in the Mexican Stock Exchange in the following months. I will now let Adrián discuss the results of this quarter.
Thank you, Armando. In the quarter, we enter into foreign exchange forward agreements for $33 million. We executed all transactions, resulting in a blended forward exchange rate of approximately 20 pesos and 25 cents per dollar. In the year, we have entered into forward agreements for $97 million, having hedged most of all CAPEX and interest payments obligations denominated in dollars. In the quarter, we continue working to extend the maturity of our debt, including the refinancing of the 2024 senior notes. We're diligently working with banks to extend existing maturities and also to secure new funding to be used towards the senior notes refinancing. Volatile market conditions are extending the timing of this process, but we're confident we will be able to obtain the necessary financing to improve our maturity profile. I will now move on to review our financial results for the quarter. Company revenues were down 1% year over year in the quarter. Revenues of Alecta, our services business unit, declined 1% in the quarter. Enterprise segment revenues increased 1%, mostly explained by an 8% decline in voice-related revenues, compensated by a 12% increase in digital transformation services revenues. The double-digit growth in digital transformation revenues was driven by the 25% increase in cloud and cybersecurity services. Enterprise segment voice revenues represented 10% of these segment revenues in the quarter, down from 11% in the first semester, continuing reducing its relative weight. Government segment revenues declined 18% in the quarter. Recurrent revenues declined 42%, while non-recurrent revenues increased 91%, partially compensated this decline. We expect that the underperformance trend in the government segment is changing, as evidenced by the 32% increase in revenues on a sequential basis. Regarding Axtel Networks, revenues were up 1% in the quarter, explained by an increase in dark fiber contracts, which compensated the decline in wholesale connectivity. Cost of revenues, excluding depreciation and amortization charges, declined 10% in the quarter, leading to increased gross margins. Alestra cost of revenues declined 6% in the third quarter, compared to a 1% decline in revenues. The cost of sales decline is primarily explained by the reduction of cost provisions in government contracts estimated during previous quarters. Concerning the infrastructure business unit, AXNET, cost declined 5% related to the decline in wholesale access or connectivity revenues, thus increasing gross profit 1% year over year. Total net expenses increased 16% vis-a-vis third quarter last year, mostly explained by the increase in bad debt provisions,
and a 3% increase in personal rents and maintenance expenses reflecting inflation pressures. The extraordinary bad debt provisions related to a wholesale mobile operator created this year will terminate in this fourth quarter. Operating expenses increased 13% in Alestra, mainly due to increases in personal rent and maintenance expenses. The 26% increase in Axtel Networks is due to bad debt provisions just mentioned. EBITDA in the quarter totaled 790 million pesos, down 13% when compared to third quarter of last year. On a sequential basis, EBITDA increased 13%, even considering the effect from the bad debt provisions. This quarter, 49% of EBITDA came from Alestra and 51% from Axtel Networks. CapEx in the quarter was $14 million compared to $24 million in the third quarter of 2021. For the first 9 months in the year, CapEx was allocated 69% for Axtel Networks and 31% for Alestra. Cash balance totaled $74 million at the end of the quarter, compared to a starting balance of $87 million. Cash flow in the quarter was positive $6 million, resulting from $39 million in EBITDA, negative $14 million in working capital, $14 million in CapEx, and $5 million in interest expenses and cash taxes. Additionally, we recorded $19 million in net debt movements during this quarter. As of September, net debt was $566 million, and the ratio of net debt was 3.8 times, including debt related to IFRS 16, which represented $13 million. Now, Chimali, if you could please open the call for questions. Thank you.
Sure. Now we'll be conducting a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. Our first question comes from the line of Ricardo Oviedo with GBM. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, Adrian, Armando. Thanks for taking my questions. I just wanted to know if you're reiterating your 2022 guidance, and additionally, if you could provide us the amount provision, the bad debt provisions during the third quarter and the 9 months of 2022. Thanks.
Hi, Ricardo, and thanks for your call. Yes, we think we're in line to achieve our guidance. It would be a positive fourth quarter what we are expecting today. It's a number that it's challenging, but we have a sound pipeline in contracts in government and in Axnet, in addition to our recurring revenues. And concerning the provisions that in the bad debt, the amount we had in our balance sheet as of the end of last year was 300 million pesos. Related to this mobile operator. Up to 9 months, we have provisions over $260 million, $255 million. So in the fourth quarter, it would be about 30 to 35 million pesos that's still to be provisioned, a lower amount than every other quarter this year.
Understood. Thanks. And if I may follow up, once you refinance your debt, would you consider increasing buybacks? Thanks very much, Adrian.
Yes, Ricardo. Well, we will consider that obviously we're always taking into consideration our liquidity necessities and our target net debt to EBITDA ratio. But we're also looking at how to provide support and liquidity to our stock. So once we were able to execute different refinancing, which is a priority in the company, we will look at that at the time.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from the line of Andres Coelho with Scotiabank. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, thank you. My first question is on Red Compartida. If you can provide any color on the negotiations with Red Compartida, and also if to understand if you are actually providing services to the company on an ongoing basis, and perhaps if you can tell us if there's been any change in Red Compartida in any investments or investment plan after the government took over the project. That's my first question. Thanks.
Yes. Good morning, Andres, and thanks for your call. With Red Compartida, Axtel participated in the financing as we announced in the second quarter. It was part of almost $400 million. We participated with the $24 million in that amount within the $388 million. And the way we are using or supporting the Red Compartida, it's part of the services. We continue providing services to Altan or Red Compartida as we were doing prior to the Concurso Mercantil. And the support we're providing consists in part of the bill from services we provide every month are paid in cash and the other part goes to these facilities. Therefore, we have the stream of services going on and continue receiving cash on a partial basis and the other going to the facility. In addition, this week, as it was announced in the media, the Concurso Mercantil, well, the debt under the Concurso Mercantil was agreed, and we participated with our portion or we signed within that agreement with the amount of accounts receivable that we had at the end of last year or when the Concurso Mercantil took effect.
And, okay, thank you.
If you could repeat the what was the other part of the question, Andres, please?
Yeah, no, I actually have a different question on M&A. If perhaps Bernardo can give us any update on initiatives to bring new partners to specific parts of the business.
Hi, Andres. Good morning. There have been investors showing interest, particularly in exploring partnerships with us. Yes, that's active today. And we see them as an opportunity to accelerate the growth in the high-growth market segments that we have in the company. These talks are currently under NDAs, so that's all we can share for now, but as soon as we have something to share, we will communicate that.
Okay, thank you very much. And one last question, if I may, on the refinancing. As you know, the yield to maturity of the 24 bonds now stands around 30%, according to Bloomberg. So I'm wondering if you know, if you are targeting a specific rate in negotiations with private banks, or if there are any you know, any color you can give us on the potential future cost of debt for that amount. Thank you.
Yes. We're actively having discussions and negotiations with banks. The process is moving. It's taking longer than what we wanted. Obviously, market conditions are not helping, but it's a priority in Axtel. The effect, if we were to switch the debt that we currently have under the senior notes to a bank loan, for example, at current market conditions and current reference rates and more applicable margins, we think, or we have estimated that it will increase our interest expenses by about $5 million per year. That's assuming we change the amount of the senior notes for same amount in a dollar bank loan.
That's very important. Very interesting. Thank you very much, Ale.
You're welcome, Andres.
Our next question comes from the line of Lee Sun with T. Rowe Price. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. Just very quickly, it looks like you had purchased about $17 million of the 2024 bonds during the quarter. Can you confirm that is correct? And what is the price level you bought the bonds back at? That's my first question.
Hi, Lee, and thanks for your question. And yes, indeed, as it's reported in our third quarter, we bought that in the market, and it was a market pricing. It was not one transaction, so it was really market pricing that we were able to execute that repurchase.
Okay. And then on the comment about the bank loan, so just to make sure I understand, you're saying that the interest expense would only increase by about $5 million on the $440 million equivalent of a bond, so less than 1% increase in the coupon, right? Like relative to the old coupon.
Yes, it's just a straightforward math. If we apply what we see as an applicable margin for current conditions of Axtel and the SOFR interest rate, the next year curve of the SOFR interest rate, that's an increase of $5 million approximately. We're not including hedging, or we're not including a change in the or a different balance in the peso dollar. It's just apples to apples. That's $5 million approximately.
Okay. And so just to make sure I understand, so what you're saying is if the current coupon is a little over 6%, if I use the current SOFR rate, it will be something like a SOFR plus 400, plus 450 basis points, something like that, right?
Not necessarily that margin, but yes, it's as you mentioned.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And as a reminder, if anyone has any questions, you may press star one on your telephone keypad to join the queue over the phone. Our next question comes from the line of Carlos Legarreta with Itaú. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you. Good morning. Just to go back to the bad debt provision comment, just to see if I got it correctly, Adrian. You've mentioned you have a figure of 300 million pesos by the end of last year, and you have provisioned 265 million so far. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, thank you. And secondly, I guess my concern is more long-term. Obviously, if you look at the EBITDA of the company, I understand this year it has had that one-off, let's call it, effect. But even if we were to, take it back, the 300 million to the EBITDA, that figure would still be around 20% lower than 2020's EBITDA, a comparable EBITDA, no, of course. So I'm just concerned that the level of what do you think is the recurring or sustainable level of EBITDA for Axtel at this point in time, given that, I mean, we're all aware that the legacy businesses are declining and should continue to decline. So just for modeling purposes, I think for consistency purposes, what is the level that we should look at on a sustainable basis?
Yes. Let me just go over your comment about the one-off effect we have had with the customer that is in Concurso Mercantil. This year, just to remind, we had to provision the amount that I mentioned before, close to 300 million pesos. And second, we're also recognizing the effect. The EBITDA is reflecting only the portion that we're getting paid in cash. So the amount that goes into our financing facility, that's not being reflected in EBITDA. So once the facility concludes or it's consumed in the end of second quarter next year, and we start again collecting 100% cash for the services we provide, we will have an improvement in the EBITDA. That's on one side. On the other, and as we have mentioned, government segment has been declining close to 25% year over year for the past 3-4 years. As mentioned before, there were changes in the organization, in the way we approach and we do business with government since the beginning of the second quarter, and we expect and hopefully third quarter reflects these changes, and we expect this to continue going up in the upcoming quarters and into next year and years thereafter. So these two have had an effect very relevant in our results. Therefore, we think that we were in EBITDA on a quarterly basis of close to 1,000 million pesos. That's a level that we expect to reach, not necessarily next year, but what we think we hit bottom in terms of EBITDA results in the first semester. We have a positive trend in the third quarter and going forward, the pipeline that's coming from the different initiatives as Armando mentioned, the business lines initiatives are creating larger acquisition growth which translate into future revenues that goes into the recurring revenue base. So in summary, we think it will go up from current levels and going back to where we were, Axtel was pre-COVID. Also,
just bear in mind that voice revenues declined over 40% during the two COVID years, and that those revenues are not coming back. The positive side is obviously that it's significantly less relevant, the contribution into our P&L.
Thank you, Adrian. I guess I didn't catch a number. I'm sorry, in the last part of your comment. Can you repeat it, please? I mean, not as a guidance, just as a target, let's call it a medium-term target.
Yeah, the target is to go back to have a quarterly EBITDA of about 1,000 million pesos. That's where Axtel was pre-COVID. So that's our medium term.
Right. So basically yearly $200 million, no? Rough numbers.
Sorry? 400, yes. Sorry, for
200 million or 4 billion pesos, no?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes.
And Adrian, there are no more questions over the phone.
Okay, Chamali, we have some questions on the webcast that we will go over the topics that we have. The first one is concerning the refinancing where we are, what is the timeline, what conditions do we expect. As we mentioned before, this is a priority in Axtel. We were having conversations with financial institutions as we speak, and we want to execute this as soon as possible. It's taking longer than what we anticipated. We don't control the process, so giving a specific date, it's difficult to provide. We were looking at the refinancing the entire amount, we are up to decide what will be the mix in pesos and dollars once we are concluded in the conversations with the financial institutions. The other topic is concerning our guidance. As I said before, third quarter improved 13% on a sequential basis. We're looking at a better fourth quarter. On top of recurrent revenues, there is a pipeline of contracts that we expect to close. So even though it's a challenging number, we're still aiming for that for the year. CapEx has been low in the third quarter and this year, in part it's related to the growth that we're seeing in our fiber network. We have plans. We've been analyzing and planning on certain investments, which will come soon, and will increase the pace of CapEx. Obviously, we've been very diligent on optimizing investments, and that's also part of the reason why we are investing less than in CapEx than last year.
Another question is about our fiber network. What's the value? What's the value in terms of services and it provides, and how we think about it? And I think Bernardo can comment on that question.
Yes, this network is a 47,000 kilometers fiber network. Half of that is metro, half is long distance. This network is the basis for most of our revenues. And the way we see value on this is how much EBITDA and cash flow we can extract from the network. So typically what you see as market values are evaluation based on EBITDA multiples. We typically we see them in a double digit area.
There's another question about next year. What is our EBITDA outlook for next year? We will comment on that in our next conference call. We're working on the business plan for next year. We will have to share that with our board and get approval for that. But as mentioned before, we're looking in better results in upcoming quarters on a steady basis. And there are no new comments. Well, there's one final comment on the 5G deployments in Mexico that obviously represents an attractive opportunity for our infrastructure unit for AXNET. What is our view in that? I think Bernardo can share some comments on that.
Well, we see, apart from Telcel, already 5G starting to roll out in the country, and what we see and the experts foresee for a market like this is that it will bring a lot of optimization for mobile operators in terms of small cells being deployed in many places, in urban places, and our network is prepared for that. Small cells are lower cost capex to provide connectivity for the mobile operators. And the reach of our network, the capillarity of our fiber network in all the main streets and urban areas is what gets us in a good position to capture that. We expect that to grow in the coming years.
And before we finish that, let me hand the call over to Armando for some final remarks.
Yeah, thank you, Adrian. Just to make a final comment, in this quarter, we have been working on building the foundations for a steady, profitable growth in the quarters to come. So we will share, as Adrian said, when we have the forecast and the authorization of our board, the numbers for next year. But we have been taking decisions in order to increase the top line and to have a better bottom line, so our numbers and our EBITDA will improve in the quarters to come. Thank you.
And with that, we have no further questions on the webcast. So we thank you for your participation, and if there are any further comments or particular questions you might have, you can always reach to our investor relations office, and we'll be happy to discuss with you.
Thank you, and have a nice weekend all.
And this concludes today's conference, and you may disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.